This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, and as always, joined by Adam Burke here in the early week. Please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. The numbers have been great. Let's keep it rolling. And I do have a little announcement. I think we're going to add another podcast. We're going to get Wes Reynolds in the rotation. Maybe Wednesdays with Wes, situational spots. We'll have a little Wes Reynolds on here. Short, quick podcasts, the plan on Wednesday. And maybe we'll keep these a little bit more brief as well, because Adam's a busy man. He's moving and shaking, kissing babies. You know, it's election season. He might be running for some sort of office. Adam, always appreciate it, man. And, you know, this is the college football betting podcast, but we do have some big stuff coming out regarding college hoops here shortly on VSiN.
Yes, sir. First of all, I got to say, before I promote the college basketball guide a little bit harder, which comes out on Thursday, you guys are going to do numbers in the state of Indiana with your Wednesday show with all the Notre Dame and University of Indiana talk.
We're taking it down. We'll just focus solely on the Hoosier State, Indiana, and Notre Dame exclusively.
Speaking of running for office, you guys, you might be able to in the Hoosier State there next year for the next election cycle. But it kind of ties in, right, with the state of Indiana, where, you know, hotbed of college basketball, high school basketball as well, that our college basketball betting guide comes out on Thursday. A lot of heavy lifting from Greg Peterson, who, of course, makes sense. I mean, the guy does significant work on college basketball here at vsin.com. We got previews of every conference for you. Really insightful article from Aaron Moore. We're going through the editing process now, looking at the travel for the ACC and the Big Ten specifically, which we know has been a thing for the college football season here as well. But that guide comes out on Thursday. We got team previews for 10 of the conferences, the Big Ten, conference overviews for every single conference, Wooden Award, best bets, futures, all kinds of good stuff. Comes out Thursday over at vsin.com. The only way to get it, to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. But there's some good offers right now over there, Tim. Sports Equinox special, 120 for 6 months, basically $20 a month. And then we got, you know, some other things going on as well. So vsin.com/subscribe. And while you're in the mood to subscribe to our college football podcast here as well.
Ding. November 4th. Basketball season getting underway.
Shit, man. Well, the NBA starts today.
NBA starts Tuesday. Today. It's crazy. There's 16 hockey games today. Our colleague Stormy Bonatoni, who I think is working 27 hours a day, she might have to, you know, duplicate herself, however you want to. What was that movie? Multiplicity? Wasn't that?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Michael Keaton. Wasn't he in that movie? I don't know. Michael Keaton.
Sounds like you need a trivia night.
Hosted SNL this past weekend.
I didn't know he was still alive, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I looked it up. I'm like, damn, dude, 73. Come on, you didn't see Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice 2? No, I haven't. Oh, is that the new one?
Yeah, the new one. Yeah, I did not.
My wife wants to see it. I'm not.
You got enough going on.
I'm not a big movie guy. By the way, speaking of movies, I might as well throw our buddy Brian Ortega a plug. He wrote up a piece on his early prediction for the Best Picture Award winner at the Oscars. We are several months away from the Oscars. That article did traffic over at vsin.com. So in case you're interested in that, you can find that over there.
There we go. Mr. Ortega, man. Ortega knows it all. Anytime I want to go to the movies, I just say, hey, Ortega, should I go to this movie? He's like, no, don't go to that. I'm like, okay. Well, let's stick with the Indiana theme, and we could talk more about it with Wes tomorrow. But big news on the injury front. We talked a lot about injuries last week. We were certainly discussing the status of Haynes King for Georgia Tech last week, what that would do. He ultimately does not play. Notre Dame wins and covers, and that number kind of just hung out there for most of the week at like around 11, went down to 10, and then ballooned back out to 14 when he was officially ruled out on Friday. But unfortunate news for Indiana. It didn't affect them on Saturday, much to my chagrin, as I tried to catch the falling knife and go against Indiana. That did not work out well.
Didn't work for me either.
But Curtis Rourke out, and the latest from Pete Thamel is that he underwent surgery, and they are hopeful that he'll be back essentially sooner rather than later. This is what Pete Thamel said. Curtis Rourke underwent surgery on his right thumb on Monday, per ESPN sources. That helped provide clarity on a potential return, including optimism that he could be back for Indiana's game against Michigan State. So great news there, I guess, for Indiana. They prefer him, obviously, not to be hurt. He will miss this game against Washington. You know, when DraftKings put together their updated to make or miss the college football playoff odds, Indiana was minus 120. Now, it has since shifted with the injury to plus 120, but, I mean, Indiana's undefeated. They don't really have a great win, but they are beating the living shit out of everybody. And apparently gambling's easy because you just need a bet on Navy, Army, and Indiana, and you'd be really rich.
So I gotta say, I'm really interested in seeing what happens this week for Indiana. I mean, Curtis Rourke has obviously played extremely well and won whatever quarterback competition they had there. But Taven Jackson, who's the brother of Trace Jackson Davis, was a pretty damn good basketball player for the Hoosiers. I mean, he was a four-star kid coming out of high school. He's 6'5". He's a big boy to maybe run around a little bit with this offense, and he looked good. Now, maybe the black shirts, you know, maybe Nebraska kind of, the game was not going in their favor at all. We can say that, but Taven Jackson looked really good. And so I'm kind of intrigued here to see how he ends up playing. And Justice Ellison ran all over Nebraska. So I don't know. Do they even miss a beat this week without Rourke? I'm curious to see.
Right now, Indiana 6-1 ATS, covering by 16.6 points per game. That is the best cover margin in the country. Navy is 14.4, not too far behind. BYU and Army are fourth and fifth, respectively, in cover margin. Look, they have left no doubt. And when you look at some of the metrics that I know the College Football Playoff Committee utilizes over at ESPN.com, you know, strength of record, game control, all of that, Indiana's 11th in strength of record, 11th in FPI, fourth in game control, but their strength of schedule is 109th, which when you look at all of these teams kind of clumped up there pretty high, Adam, it is by far the worst. Only one really in the same ballpark would be Pittsburgh at 103. So I know that they haven't played anybody, and it's going to be a fascinating conversation. If Indiana goes 11-1 and loses only to Ohio State on the road, what does the committee decide to do with them? Because they would have zero wins over ranked teams, but they would have dominated everybody in their path. And, you know, Michigan struggling as much as they have is less than ideal for the Hoosiers. But yeah, that is going to be a very, very interesting discussion to have, because you might be looking at a Power Four team with an 11-1 record, their only loss being to a top five team. And what does the committee decide to do with Indiana? Because they've always told us, even though none of us believe it, you know, the preseason polls, they don't mean anything for us. Well, if that's the case and it's a blank slate, Indiana is so fascinating to me what the committee decides to do with them.
Well, you'd have to put four Big Ten teams in, right? Because if Penn State goes 11-1 and their loss is Ohio State,
yep,
they're in, right? I mean, the expanded college football playoff was by and large an effort to put more Big Ten and SEC teams in there. So if given the choice between Penn State and Indiana, with both of them having a loss to Ohio State, now maybe it depends on the margin of defeat, I don't know, but they're going to take Penn State over Indiana. So that's the tough thing, I think, for the Hoosiers.
Now, Penn State does, to their credit, they have the win over Illinois, which aged a little bit better this past weekend. Is Illinois now 6-1 on the year? So they definitely have a better win on their
ledger. Went on the road, beat USC. I mean, if they beat Wisconsin this week, that's a good win because the Badgers are playing quite well right now. The
Badgers are playing really well, and that's a game that, you know, I don't know what to do. I mean, this week, I'll say this, and, you know, it was a frustrating week last week. I felt like situationally there were a couple spots, Ball State that, you know, came home against Vandy in an ultimate sandwich spot for the Commodores. But, you know, giving out numbers at certain prices, and then the market moves. I mean, Army closed 17, but I think we'll grade it on the podcast as a loss because I think it was 16.5 on Thursday, so that was frustrating. But yeah, this week is interesting. There's some interesting spots. I mean, LSU again in a big time spot, going on the road to Texas A&M. But yeah, I mean, with the schedules the way that they are, and you look at teams like, you know, Georgia, who went on the road to, you know, Alabama, Texas, still have a game against Ole Miss, played Clemson. I mean, Georgia, their schedule's been an absolute monster. And then you look at a team like Indiana, a team like Missouri, who does play Alabama this week. You know, the committee will see the first rankings, I believe, in 2 weeks. I'm very, very fascinated to see how their initial rankings are going to be.
Well, and I think something that'll be interesting as we kind of go forward here is, you know, especially when you talk about Indiana's college football playoff case, right? Because again, I do think Ohio State beats Penn State, even though it's in Happy Valley. The Buckeyes should win, and it's one of the few games where Ryan Day maybe has a coaching advantage over James Franklin. So they should win that game. We should run back Oregon and Ohio State, you know, in the Big Ten championship game. But then it obviously comes down to what happens with the rest of the SEC, right? You're going to lose an unbeaten team in conference this week because somebody has to win between LSU and Texas A&M. You know, Alabama's got their two losses already, which probably knocks them out at this point in time, I would say. Tennessee, despite beating Alabama, has not really been very impressive at all this year. There's a decent chance somebody trips them up. Georgia obviously got themselves very much back into the discussion with that win over Texas. Not that they were ever out of it, but now, I mean, you know, the Bulldogs are sitting really pretty. But I think for a case like Indiana, for example, it kind of comes down to, does everybody kind of beat everybody in the SEC the rest of the way? You know, where you've got, does Texas lose another game? Probably not. But, you know, the game at Kyle Field against Texas A&M, what if Texas A&M is really good? What if they beat LSU this week in a game where that line's now come down under 3? You know, all of a sudden that looks like a much more difficult game for Texas. You got all these, I don't really want to call them bubble teams because that's kind of unfair, but all these teams in the SEC that still have to play each other. But at the same time, the SEC and the committee has proven this. The SEC is the best conference in the country, and there's no question about it. So if they can take a 2-loss SEC team over a 1-loss Indiana, they're going to do that, citing probably strength of schedule as you did. So I think it's going to be interesting going forward where a lot of people came out and said, well, the expanded playoff cheapens the regular season. I think it's the complete opposite because now you've got a bunch of teams that could find their way in, but they have to take care of their business in the regular season first to even be part of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt. And if the playoff hadn't expanded, and maybe as many of my Twitter followers slash trollers have let me know, Notre Dame would have been eliminated with the loss to Northern Illinois. But now, if they run the table, they're very much going to, I think, host a playoff game, and they'll be in the top 8. I mean, you look at the landscape across college football, I think there's a real strong reality that there are 0 undefeated Power 4 teams going into the college football playoff. Oregon, I don't think, will lose a regular season game, but I said it all offseason. I think Ohio State and Oregon will split in the regular season, and I think that'll still bear out here. You look at the SEC. Is there any undefeated team left in the SEC? I think they've all got 1 loss, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, I believe so. I can double check it right here. Yeah, yeah, everyone's lost already.
Yeah, so, I mean, Texas A&M.
And not only that, Texas A&M and LSU, one of them picks up a 2nd loss this weekend as a top 15 team.
Yeah, they both are, you know, both at home there. A couple interesting nuggets here. This was courtesy of Brett McMurphy, hashtag America's Insider. Do you know the 2 teams that have not trailed for 1 second this year in college football are?
Have not trailed for a second. Well, Liberty hasn't been down, right?
Oh, no, they were down. Remember, they were down to East Carolina. They almost
lost. Oh, that's right.
Game.
Well, and Indiana, right?
Indiana, ding.
And
America.
Who else?
America. Army.
Well, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Navy trailed in a game?
I believe so. Not for very long.
Memphis, maybe?
Maybe the I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think Memphis scored. Memphis scored on their opening drive.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, because I had Navy in that game. I'm like, oh, here we go. And Navy did come back and win. There's only one team who has not led this season. Do you know who they are? They're in the MAC.
Why do I want to say Akron, but it's not. It's got to be Kent State.
Kent State has never never led, and they played.
Well, they're the only team without a win, right? Oh, Kennesaw State, I guess.
Yeah, our battle of owls looks like Temple is going to emerge there with the highest power rating.
You know what? What the hell? Let's talk about this game for a second. Liberty has been so thoroughly unimpressive that, like, you look at this line, and what is this number if Liberty is actually playing up to expectation? 32, 33, maybe even higher? And it's just sitting there, you know, 25. We're getting a little bit of Liberty interest now for Wednesday's game against Kennesaw State, but, like, this number is probably a touchdown or more lower than it would have been thinking ahead prior to the season.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, Liberty during the offseason was minus 200 to win CUSA. They haven't lost a game, and now they're like plus 120. So it just goes to show you what the market is saying about Liberty this year. Plus 125 at DraftKings to win that conference. It's funny. I've talked about it a couple of times. You know, we were putting together the portfolio this summer, and I put a Liberty Chiefs win the AFC West money line parlay together, or, you know, futures parlay. The Chiefs, I think, are minus 2,500 or something outrageous to win the AFC West, but I still don't have good value on it because Liberty is now plus 125 to win the damn division or win the conference. So, yeah, I mean, Western Kentucky looks pretty good. They looked the part with those uniforms, and we will see how that crazy conference plays out. By the way, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, just a reminder, FIU is wearing the Miami Vice uniforms tonight, and it looks like, I would imagine, solely based off of the uniforms, they are getting money in the market. That number down to 4.5.
Is Pitbull going to show up tonight?
He should.
Mr. With the Worldwide, Miami Vice unis?
We need Mr. Worldwide for that one. How about this nugget from our good friend Brad Powers? Did you see what the Oklahoma line was this week?
It's ugly. 21, 20 and a half?
Oklahoma is a 20 and a half point underdog on the road at Ole Miss. It is the biggest underdog Oklahoma has been since 1997.
So I know you got a thing for ugly teams. I know that's just kind of your MO.
It's my ugly dogs, yeah.
I mean, I got to say this, like, as pathetic as that offense is, and it's bad.
Jackson Arnold back now.
Yeah, Jackson Arnold's back. I mean, maybe that's a bit of an upgrade. This is still a team that's top 25 in yards per play allowed on defense. And I think their number, like, Colin Wilson, friend of Feason, who works over at Action Network, I think he said that, I don't know if it was him or somebody else, but, like, Oklahoma and South Carolina were number one and number two in terms of turning pressure into sacks. And obviously we saw South Carolina do it. And their defensive line is incredible. But that's a big old number for Oklahoma to have a good defense.
Yeah, that's 20 and a half out there.
Maybe I want to live vicariously through you because I don't actually want to bet it, but I know I can convince you to do so.
I probably could by the end of the show.
By the way, I didn't know this. Ole Miss is number three in the country in yards per play allowed.
I heard we're just giving shout outs to everyone, but the Cover 3 podcast, they do a thing called Pole Assassin where they take a look at the AP.
I think I met her in Vegas one time.
And Ole Miss sitting there at number 18 at 5-2, still ranked ahead of undefeated Pittsburgh and 6-1 Illinois. So not really sure why, but hey. Give them credit, I guess, for
they are number three in the country in yards per play and number three in the country in yards per play on defense. They are plus 3.62 yards per play, and they've lost two games. So it just gives you an idea of what they did in the games where they did dominate.
Well, I think a lot of teams would dominate Furman, Middle Tennessee, Wake Forest, Georgia Southern. Oh, man.
By the way, Georgia Southern, what a hell of a win over James Madison last week.
I might ask Ryan to tack it on at the end. Did you hear Jim Mora's rant?
No.
Oh, my God. Jim Mora, not the dad, the son, who is the head coach of UConn, lost his mind post-game after UConn lost to Wake Forest. He was calling out the refs. He said, it's ACC refs. We're independent. That's why they're getting the call. There were F-bombs. I mean, it was epic. It was a great rant from Jim Mora Jr. I'm gonna try to tell Ryan to see if we can tack that on here. We're doing some live live notes there. All right, speaking of which, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will take a look a little bit ahead at this upcoming week. Mention Adam's power ratings as well. It's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am your host, Tim Murray. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on social media. I'm at one Tim Murray. Adam is at Skating Tripods. I've heard a lot of people mention that they believe that Army and or Navy will beat Notre Dame this year. And hey, man, that's why they play the games. We'll see how it all plays out. I put up an old Twitter poll and I said, will Navy and or Navy beat Notre Dame? 17% said Army will beat them. 18% Navy. 21% said both of them will beat Notre Dame. 42% neither will beat Notre Dame. You know, these are two teams. And I know Dustin Sweetelson, who produces my Saturday show, the Saturday tailgate show that starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. Just a little friendly reminder there. He took a 20-1 shot on Army to make the college football playoff. Navy, I believe, sits at 15-1 now. Those numbers continue to come down. Last week, it was 25-1 and 20-1. What do you make? And we've talked a lot about Army and Navy on this podcast. Army now 6-0-1 ATS. Navy's 5-1 ATS. Navy, by the way, 6-0 to the over this year. I mean, these two teams have been absolute cash cows. However, it is worth noting that they have both played very poor schedules. Navy's better than Army, for sure, with a win over Memphis. But it's hard, and I know that you do power ratings over at VSiN.com and update them every week. I know it's hard for some to truly figure out what to do with Army and Navy. They're covering at such a insane rate. But then the strength of schedule is really weak. And now this week, Notre Dame plays Navy. Matt Grill at DraftKings Sportsbook told us last Wednesday in the look-ahead line, it was Notre Dame 17. It got as low as 11.5 this week. It's now bumped up to 12.5, 13. You know, what do you make of Army and Navy, Adam, from a power rating standpoint?
Well, I'll say this first off the top. I have Army 3.5 points better than Navy in my power ratings. So for the Army-Navy game, I'd have Army minus 3.5 in that one. I have Notre Dame 13.5 point favorite this week against Navy. I am a 10-point favorite against Army.
Both of those games, by the way, will played on neutral sites.
Right, both of those on neutral sites. So, I mean, first of all, the defensive talent level at Notre Dame, even with some of their injuries and some of their issues, still dramatically higher than basically any team in the AAC. Right. So that's part of it. Second, you wonder if, even though I do have Army power rated higher, you wonder if maybe Navy is a little bit more difficult of a matchup because of the more gimmicky nature of their offense with Drew Kronik and the fact that they're running all kinds of different formations and all these kinds of things. Army's just lining it up and running it down people's throats and no one's stopping it.
Navy
has a little bit more variance to the offense.
I heard this stat, I think, on the Irish Illustrated podcast. I think Navy has run like 45% of their plays at a shotgun this year.
Yeah, and the ironic thing is Army went back to full under center this year after kind of deviating from that the last few years. So that's kind of an ironic and interesting thing there. Look, I mean, Notre Dame's a top 25 run defense by yards per carry. They're 23rd, 3.3. They only given up three rushing touchdowns on the season. This is a team that, you know, even in their one game against a ranked opponent, under 4 yards per carry allowed. They're giving up 2.5 yards per carry here in their two games in the month of October. So this is a massive step up in class. And not only that, you know, the tough thing for these Army and Navy teams, for the service academies, is the defenses are almost always undersized, right? Particularly at the line of scrimmage. So what helps for them is they have the ball for like 38 minutes a game. They just bleed the clock out of you, and they keep their defense from getting exposed. Well, Notre Dame should be the type of offense here to, you know, be able to take advantage from an efficiency standpoint, more so than other teams that just can't do a whole lot with the limited number of possessions. So there's no excuse for Notre Dame not to win this game. There's no excuse for Notre Dame not to win both of these games, if we're being completely honest. So Army and Navy are phenomenal stories, but yeah, and they haven't played a team anywhere near the talent of a Notre Dame. I mean, shit, Army played all of the Owls. They played FAU, Rice, and Temple in three straight weeks. They're all bad teams. Fortunately, they haven't played Kennesaw State, because that's a hide the wife and kids type of game.
Come on,
but
now.
East Carolina is the best offense they've faced so far, and ECU had 28 points in that game. You know, I'm really curious to see what happens to Army when they go to Denton and play North Texas on November 9th, because North Texas can score. They're going to give up 50 points. They may score 50 points, too. So that's the thing. Like, these two are great stories right now, and Navy's win over Memphis is a solid one. All of their other wins are against garbage teams.
Yeah, when you look at right now strength of schedule, I think it's 132 and 133 for both of these.
And remember, there are 133 FBS teams.
134.
Sorry, Kennesaw.
Remember Kennesaw State. In the Memphis win, win over Memphis, the Tigers had 659 yards of offense. Now, they're an explosive offense. They've got a really good quarterback. I mean, I think the biggest thing Notre Dame has to do is avoid turnovers. If they can avoid turnovers, I would imagine they win this game. Notre Dame does have young linebackers. They've got injuries up front. They've got a couple edge rushers that are out for the year due to injury. They've got their top corner and Benjamin Morrison out for the year. And Navy's been able to throw the ball. I mean, Blake Horvath, give him his flowers, man. This dude has been an absolute stud this year for Navy. And when Navy has a good quarterback, history tells you they'll be a pretty good team. Now, Notre Dame, the last time they played Navy when they were both ranked, it was in 2019, and Notre Dame won that game 52-20. So Navy's not sneaking up on the Irish, that's for sure. And Brian Newberry, head coach of Navy, had this to say in his weekly press conference, you know, probably pumping up his team a little bit. And he said, quote, "I don't think we've peaked yet. I don't think we've really come close to our ceiling." So he thinks that they're going to continue to get better. I believe he said that, you know, doesn't take a miracle. It doesn't take anything superhuman to beat Notre Dame. And look, Notre Dame has lost to Navy a couple times in recent memory. So we will see. Should be an interesting one nonetheless.
You say there were 21% of people who said both Army and Navy will beat Notre Dame?
Yeah, on my Twitter poll, yeah.
They're just haters. That's it. They just hate Notre Dame.
I feel like I should have phrased it a little bit differently, because look, I've heard it and I understand when you look at the way that Army and Navy are smashing teams. And, you know, Notre Dame, they have the Northern Illinois loss. They can't hide from it. I think there's many people who believe that this is a flawed Notre Dame team. And I would agree. There are definitely some flaws there. But the good thing for Notre Dame, I think, going into this game is that they will be 100% focused on Navy. There's no look ahead. There's no little brother scenario. They're ranked. They're undefeated. They're crushing teams. So I think they will be very focused to take care of business here. And they got to figure out this, you know, hybrid wing T, which is, credit to Brian Newberry for going out, firing his offensive coordinator a year ago and bringing in Drew Kronick. And both Navy and Army will be in bowl games this year. So we know what we'll be doing in those bowl games. We will be betting on both of Army and Navy because there's nothing better than backing a service academy in a bowl game.
I'm looking here through Sagarin, because I like Sagarin. I think it's nice the way he has strength of schedule. I just like the way that his data is kind of displayed. I think it's pretty easy. Outside of Memphis, who is ranked 52nd in the nation, according to Sagarin, I think the next highest ranked opponent combined between Army and Navy is East Carolina at 110.
Who just fired their coach.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Just fired their coach. Yeah, so look, I don't want to discredit
what
Army and Navy have done. I do not hate America. But look, we got to...
Air Force hates money, apparently, because they're winless against the spread.
It's terrible. We got to take a step back here with Army and Navy, I think. I'm going to say that, and then somehow Navy's going to find a way to win this game, but...
You're going to be... I don't know if there are message boards out there for Navy football, but they're going to be Adam Burke, hater of Navy. 132 and 133, according to ESPN, strength of schedule. Only team with an easier schedule to this point was Liberty, who also has a win over East Carolina.
It's true. It's very true. It's an awesome story, and... You know, I mean, there are worse things than one of these teams finding a way into the playoff, but like, I think it's just going to be one of those scenarios where we're going to bask in the glow of that Army-Navy game at the end of the year.
Well, speaking of that situation and who will make it out of the group of five to into the college football playoff, Boise State is the favorite, rightfully so, even money at DraftKings to make the college football playoff. Friday night here in Las Vegas, it's going to be a pretty exciting spot. I'm going to be at the game, fired up to go to it. It won't be a sellout by any stretch of the imagination, but I would envision, and maybe JVT can let us know more, but this is the biggest game. I guess they did host the Mountain West Championship last year, so I guess I can't say biggest game in UNLV history at Allegiant Stadium, but regular season for sure, and it is a Friday night game. What do your numbers say for Boise State and UNLV? And by the way, the UNLV game against Oregon State, one of the wackiest finishes you'll see, where Oregon State tries to spike the ball. They have, I think, an illegal formation. And then the refs say, well, we didn't set the ball properly, so they still let them go with the play. UNLV does get the sack. They win 33-25 and they get the cover. That was a good win for UNLV. That was a terrible spot on the road at Corvallis, and they got off to a slow start. I think they were down 17-3. They end up winning that game 33-25, but the market's taking Boise State here. It's out the 3.5 here on this Tuesday for that Friday night showdown against UNLV.
Mammoth game. Should be a hell of a lot of fun here. I like the over, personally. I know 66 is one hell of a number, but I mean, you're on the fast track in a game that's going to have a tremendous atmosphere. I could see substantial points in this game with the playmakers just kind of doing their things. As far as the spread goes on this game, I have Boise State -4. So I do tend to agree with the move off of 3 up to 3.5. And Tim, I'll say this. Going forward for Boise State, 31-point favorite against San Diego State, 22.5 against Nevada, 22 at San Jose State, 28 at Air Force, 19 at home against Oregon State. So 19 or more point favorite in their remaining five games. So this is the one, man. They win this one. They're running the table. If they beat, I presume, UNLV again in the Mountain West Championship game, there's your group of five college football playoff team.
Ashton Gentry right now is the favorite at most sports books to win the Heisman Trophy. Cam Ward is the same odds, I believe, at FanDuel. And Cam Ward is the favorite slightly at Circa. Yeah, I'm very curious about what we're going to see from Ashton Gentry. I mean, this is the game, as you alluded to. This is the one. Fresno State is not as good maybe as we thought they were going to be. Air Force is an absolute disaster. Colorado State is not very good this year. This conference is,
Is bad.
This conference is not good outside of UNLV and Boise State. And I'm glad that these two teams are playing each other. I hope that we get a rematch. Whoever wins this game on their home field in early December on a Friday night, that's what this conference should hope for, especially if they want a team to represent the G5, because if Boise State loses on Friday night, it gets really interesting about who could represent the G5. I mean, Liberty, they've been a disappointment, but they're still undefeated, but they have the easiest schedule in the country. We talked about Army and Navy. Tulane, I think, is a team that is very much alive to potentially be the group of five representative, even though their odds dropped this past week to around 8-1. This game is going to determine a lot for the G5. And I'll say this, if Boise State wins this game, and let's say wins it in convincing fashion, not only are you talking about Ashton Gentry moving more into that driver's seat for the Heisman Trophy, but I think there's a scenario out there where Boise State isn't just the handed off number 12 seed. I think they could get higher into the ratings. If they finish 12-1, Adam, and their only loss would be by 3 on the road at Oregon. I mean, Iowa State's still undefeated, so they control their destiny for a bye. But if Boise State wins this game on Friday night and then runs the table, it's going to be a really interesting discussion where Boise State ends up being ranked in those final rankings for the college football playoff.
What, you didn't want to mention BYU being undefeated?
Dude, that team has got some sort of rabbit's foot up, you know what. I mean, Friday night against Oklahoma State, I had the Pokes plus the points, so I was happy.
Do they lose this week?
Yes.
Orlando?
I'm on UCF. I think this is it. I think this is the spot. Look, you've got an undefeated top 15 team only laying 2 on the road at, 3-4 UCF? You know, you mentioned that I like stinky lines. That line is stinky as all hell.
Well, that line tells a story, right?
I mean, and then you look at the early, and I know it's Tuesday and people aren't really betting until Friday, but like the early betting splits, like 90% of the action is going to be on BYU. And to kind of what you said about Army and Navy, look, BYU is an awesome story. Like they go out, they beat Kansas. Like let's think about a Friday night. They go to Dallas as a double-digit dog in an ugly-ass game, and they beat SMU. And at the time, it was more of, man, what's wrong with SMU? Well, SMU has flipped the script. They've changed the quarterback. They've got one loss. So that looks like a phenomenal win for BYU. They blow out Kansas State in a wacky game on a Saturday night. But regardless, they get that win. They win 38-9. And then this past Friday night, they somehow, some way with what? I mean, they were facing a 4th-and-7 with like a minute to go, and they got 8 yards, and then 3 plays later, they're in the end zone. It was a crazy finish in Provo, and you know, credit to Kalani Sitake, but yeah, I'll be on UCF this week for sure.
Yeah, no, I can't fault you for that. I mean, I don't think UCF is very good. But
I don't either.
But this is kind of one of those quintessential college football situations, especially, you know, with the long trip down to Orlando. And, you know, I mean, it's cooling off a little bit, but I'm sure it's still going to be humid and gross as it typically is down in Florida. So,
but let's look at their schedule real quickly left here. At UCF, bye week, the Holy War against Utah. Utah's falling apart. They play Kansas, who's playing a little bit better now. They get them at home, at Arizona State, home to Houston. I mean,
you know what? I'm going to make kind of a bold call here. I think Kansas wins that game.
Ooh.
Kansas is figuring it out offensively.
Over under 1.5 losses for BYU in the regular season.
I could see this being a 2-loss team. Even Arizona State.
I think that Arizona State game would be a pain in the ass.
Houston will not. No. Houston will not get them.
Yeah, hopefully not. Because
I could see them losing. I could see them losing 2 of those 3 road games or losing the Kansas game. Doesn't that feel like a Lance Leipold win type of game? It just has that kind of feel. Also, former BYU OC Jeff Grimes coming back.
There you go.
Look, I mean, Kansas is figuring it out offensively. I actually played the over in Kansas and Kansas State this week, the Sunflower Showdown. Kansas is figuring it out on offense with Grimes. They have they struggled in their first few games, but Daniels is shaking off the rust. The defense is bad, but Daniels is shaking off the rust. They're at like 7 yards per play in their last 2 games. They've finally figured it out a little bit. I mean, that Big 12 is going to be a mess the rest of the way.
Oh yeah. I mean, and look, Iowa State, I mean, the tricky part about betting UCF in this spot is where's their head at after blowing it against Iowa State, right? Like how do they bounce back after that one? But I think you get a better effort. KJ Jefferson's been benched, so I don't think, Adam, I'm gonna cash my 150-1 ticket on KJ Jefferson to win the Heisman Trophy.
It might be tough.
Might be a tough one.
Might be tough.
I wanna mention another game. I mentioned SMU and teams that are driving me crazy. Now, a lot of the time, it has to do with what you bet. And during the preseason, I bet Duke under 2.5 ACC wins. That is not gonna come home because UNC blew a 20-0 lead against Duke And then on Friday night, I still don't know how Duke won that football game. I mean, they played Florida State. They had 180 yards of offense, and they won the game. Now, they were plus four in the turnover margin. Duke is congrats to Manny Diaz. You're not a good football team. Do they get boat raced by SMU at home this weekend?
I'm kind of thinking that way. Yeah. I'm SMU, man, you know what? My numbers loved this team coming into the season.
And I'll say this, a lot of analytically computer driven bettors like yourself, Colin Wilson, who we mentioned, Ford, why am I forgetting his name? I mean, a lot of these people who make their own ratings, they absolutely adored this team. Kelly Ford, sorry, man. Kelly Ford, who makes his ratings at K4 Ratings, a lot of them love this SMU team. And it looked like it was a disaster. Then they switch it out to Jennings, and he's been tremendous.
Yeah, my numbers loved this team coming into the preseason from a win total standpoint. The problem that I had was, and I talked about this last week on the show, I think, or maybe a couple weeks ago, was they hadn't beaten Power 4 level teams.
Yep.
Right? Like, they struggled in the annual rivalry against TCU. The last year in the AAC, they lost to Cincinnati. They lost to UCF. You know, they also lost to BYU that year. You know, they just hadn't beaten Power 5 / now Power 4 caliber teams. Now they're doing that. And I over-adjusted that. I punished them for the Nevada game. Nevada's way better than any of us thought. And I punished them for the BYU game. BYU is way better than any of us thought. And then I was way too slow to adjust as they wound up hanging 108 points on TCU and Florida State, and then 74 the next two road games against Louisville and Stanford. I was way too slow to react back to this team. So I made a big mistake with them. I've made quite a few mistakes this season in my power ratings. I don't know if it's just the landscape of college football, how dispersed the talent pool is. I'm not sure, but this SMU team is really, really good. And truth be told, I wish, and I don't think it's going to happen, I wish we could see them go head-to-head against Clemson in the ACC championship game, because I think that is a much more compelling game than Clemson against Miami, because I think Clemson beats Miami comfortably, if we're being honest.
So here's the scenario we have brewing in the ACC. And once again, you know, we've talked so much about chaos when it comes to Army and Navy and the fact that they play the Army-Navy game after the college football playoff is announced. If you want chaos, I've got a scenario for you, folks. Clemson, Miami, and SMU all can go undefeated in conference play.
Yep.
SMU has Duke, Pitt, BC, Virginia, and Cal remaining. I believe they'll be a favorite in all of those games. Clemson, their schedule is a little more challenging. Louisville, Virginia Tech, and Pitt. And then Miami's got Florida State, Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake, and Syracuse. Will it happen? Probably not, because it's college football. But is there a scenario where Clemson, Miami, and SMU are all 8-0 in the ACC? Certainly looks that way. And I don't know the tiebreakers off the top of my head, but if you like chaos, there's a realistic shot that Clemson, Miami, and SMU are all 8-0 after conference play.
I mean, Miami's flirted with disaster, to put it generously, lately, but they're an 11.5 or higher point favorite for me in every game the rest of the way.
So I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I thought Van Pelt said it best on his podcast, where he said, it's not a conspiracy, it's incompetence with refereeing. But three straight games, Miami has been the benefactor of a call. Virginia Tech, the Hail Mary is called a touchdown. It is overturned. Was it the right call? Probably. Should it have been overturned? Probably not. The Cal game, targeting on Mendoza, doesn't get called. Cal ends up punting the ball away. Miami wins that game. And then the Louisville-Miami game, and yes, I had Louisville plus 4.5. The scoop and score that gets overturned, it was the incorrect call, Adam, but I don't understand how that call gets overturned. And that's the thing here. And it's three straight weeks where Miami has been a benefactor of what I would deem as shoddy refereeing.
So it's really difficult, right? Because there are so many college football games that you can't pay these people as full-time officials, right? The NFL should probably figure out a way to do that. I mean, there's enough money in that billion-dollar business to do that. So these people aren't like working on the car lot or working at the, you know, at the hedge fund or something like that during the week and then moonlighting as officials on the weekend. You can't do it in college football, but to have it happen with the frequency that it has for Miami, it's very much a statistical outlier. So, no, I don't think that there's any sort of conspiracy, but, man, I mean, they gotten very fortunate. There's no question about that.
Yeah, but if you want chaos, there's a chance out there that Miami, Clemson, and SMU all go undefeated in conference play. All right, Adam,
there's a lot of chaos chances. I mean, not that it's playoff related per se, but like Western Michigan's the only undefeated team in the MAC right now, and they're not any good. By the way, I bet Akron this week. If we want to talk about betting on shitty teams, I bet on Akron this week. Just wanted to throw that out there before we get too far. Also, we're in a situation where Louisiana Monroe could make the Sun Belt championship game, which is incredible. They have to beat rival Louisiana to do it and also not slip up anywhere else. But that could be a fun game on November 30th, depending on how things shake out. The other thing I want to mention here, a couple of other games that kind of stand out to me that I think we should discuss here for a couple of minutes. So I'm really, really intrigued to see what happens with this Cincinnati and Colorado game, because I feel like Cincinnati, I mean, their record is not super impressive or anything like that. They also haven't done anything wrong, really, at any point here this season. Colorado looks good in the Big 12, man.
They do.
Like, this line's gone up with some respected money, up to 5, 5.5. Now, public piggybackers are going to come in on Shadur and Dion. This will go 6, 6.5 in all likelihood, I think. I kind of want to have the stones to take Cincinnati at the peak of this market.
I wouldn't blame you. You know, the betting market was all over Colorado last week at Arizona, and they were accurate on that one. So it's interesting.
The market hates Arizona, by the way.
And they're not wrong.
No, they're not.
Arizona was a team that I think a lot of people anticipated with Fifita and McMillan returning to just hit the ground running. And they're now 3-4. And I think, Adam, one more loss and you cash the under on Arizona. I think it was 8, I want to say, maybe 8.5. I didn't bet Arizona.
They don't make a bowl game.
They've got West Virginia at UCF, Houston at TCU, and then the Territorial Cup in the final game of the season. Yeah, they've got to win.
They make a bowl game.
They got to win 3 of those. Just beat Houston.
Which, by the way, is coaching malpractice, I think.
Well,
like, I mean, maybe Brent Brennan just isn't any good.
Well, and I'll give JBT wrote up the Big 12, and Matt Eumanns is echoed it as well. Are we sure Brent Brennan's a good coach? Look, I've interviewed the guy a couple times. I like him a lot. He seems like an awesome dude, and I just gave him a lot of benefit of the doubt because San Jose State is such a tricky job because it's more of a commuter school, and you know, there's not really a fan base there, all of that. And, you know, Coach Ken, I know that their schedule has been pretty soft to this point. I mean, Coach Ken has San Jose State with one of the biggest roster turnovers in the entire country on the verge of clinching a bowl at 5-2. And hopefully they get there due to the San Jose State Spartans. But yeah, I mean, Brent Brennan, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I didn't bet win total over or under on Arizona, but this is pretty eye-opening how they've played so far this year. And their best win is Utah, and that doesn't look that great nowadays.
The other one I want to ask you about, similarly with the Spartans, Michigan State and Michigan. I admittedly, I don't know what to do with this game, but that's a good win for Sparty over Iowa. Ooh. Last week.
Not good. Coming if you had, off, not good if you had Iowa over wins.
Well, that's true. Ooh. Sorry. But coming off the bye with a very, very good coach, as we know, in Jonathan Smith, right? I mean, dropping 32 points on Iowa is pretty impressive. I mean, you know, and they had some short fields, but they also had some sustained touchdown drives in that game as well. Now they get Michigan, who I think the reality has really truly set in for Michigan the last couple of weeks. I know they were on the road. They'll be back in the big house here. But the reality has really set in for them. And that USC loss is getting weaker by the week because Lincoln Riley just doesn't have what it takes in the Big Ten, I don't think. Does Sparty win this game this weekend? Like, I'm really intrigued about taking the points with them.
My only,
like, I could envision a scenario in which they lose this game like 27-10, but I'm intrigued with taking the points here where, you know, the Boston College game, they gave away, right? They should be 5-2 with losses to Ohio State and Oregon, which there's no shame in losing and getting blown out by those two teams. No shame whatsoever. I think Sparty wins this weekend.
I'm not going to push back on it. I mean, what has Michigan done to make you feel confident in any of their abilities? My only worry would be, and I'm trying to think of the game that this was indicative.
I guess here's my question.
Because you're selling Michigan at what feels like the all-time low, and you're buying Michigan State at a relatively high price off the win over Iowa.
I guess so. I mean, I have it line 6, so I'm kind of in line with the market. I'm a point higher, but, you know, my power ratings are not gospel to me. I try to get ahead of line movements early in the week, and then as the week goes along, they matter less and less. But okay. Let me just throw this out there. Michigan is 4-3.
Yep.
Left on the schedule, Oregon,
lost.
Indiana, and Ohio State.
Oh, man. They might not make a bowl game.
Yeah, they may not make a bowl game, right? If they lose this week, they are not making a bowl game.
You know,
like, what is the last national champion to not even make a bowl the next year?
Well, TCU didn't win the title, but they lost. They lost the title game and then didn't make a bowl game.
Right. But to win it all.
Yeah.
And then not make a bowl. Like, there's a very realistic possibility that, I mean, they're not going to lose to Northwestern, I don't think. So if they win this game this week, they're going to go 6-6 and make a bowl. But they may be a national championship team that the next year does not even make a bowl game.
Yeah, that makes
sense. And then what do you do, right? If you're Michigan, what do you do? You know, Harbaugh sidestepped because he was going to get the show cause and he knew it and all of that. Like, people talk about the born on third thing with Ryan Day. Sherrone Moore really didn't do anything to deserve this job. He was just damage control because they weren't going to pay somebody else to take it with a little bit of uncertainty with their program future. Like, what do you do if you're Michigan? Do you have to go out there this offseason and just overpay or just outright buy a new head coach?
Can we start the rumors of Les Miles? How many years did we hear about Les Miles going to Michigan?
Maybe they'll hire Ryan Day. He's good at beating Ohio State.
Look, Michigan is not the easiest win total of the year, but, and that goes to Florida State. Anyone who bet under 9.5 wins at -110. They started 0-3, so that was the easiest win ever. And then Indiana started 6-0 and went over their win total. But Michigan going under, I think it was 9, hell, even 8.5. That's an easy victory there for you. I know you haven't cashed it yet, but there were a couple out there that just seemed very obtainable. And I'm jealous of I know Matt Newman's has an under on Michigan. I'm jealous of that ticket as I'm sweating out a couple others. But, you know, for me, UCLA did win this past weekend, but I still feel confident we're going to get a 6 loss there for UCLA and go under. Or I guess I need a 6 loss. I think I have under 5.5 wins, so or 7th loss. But
I gotta say, man, the market's not always right. Man, were they right on that UCLA Rutgers game?
Sure were. They really were. That came in, and you know, I know a lot of people are, I imagine, tantalized by Rutgers this weekend because USC in another loss, another bet. We talked about that spot for USC and I didn't bet it. I know Wes did, and it came home, Maryland winning outright against USC. I mean, that's been a absolute disaster of a season. But Rutgers, folks, not a team you really want to bet on. So I get that 14.5 is very tempting. And you know I like ugly dogs. I can't get there with Rutgers. They're terrible right now.
They're bad. They're really bad. USC's pretty bad right now, too.
How about the doubleheader on Fox Friday night? Game one of the World Series, Yankees-Dodgers. And then, you know, all Yankees fans probably went to Rutgers. So Rutgers-USC to follow. You've got the LA-New York doubleheader on Fox Friday night.
Well, not only that, any Yankees fans that don't live in New York City are USC fans probably. So, you know, that definitely works out. We got a bomb-ass doubleheader. Well, not really doubleheader, but Thursday night's two games are good. Like I said, Georgia Southern off that surprising win over James Madison. They look good
with J.C. French at quarterback.
They're Syracuse, that's a game. Good football this week.
Yeah. There's a couple games in the week. Boise State, UNLV, we hit on already. Louisville, yep. Boston College. I'm tempted there to take Boston College. That is a really tricky spot for Louisville. And Louisville, you know, I talk about, you know, buying low, selling high. You're selling low on Louisville, but, you know, how do they respond after losing that game in the fashion that they did against Miami? And now you've got to go on the road to Chestnut Hill. Not that it's a daunting environment, but a Friday night there, kind of one of those weird spots. And look, we've seen it. The dogs on Friday nights, I believe, now are 17-6-1 ATS on Friday nights. Dogs are.
The thing that worries me, how healthy is Thomas Castellanos?
Always,
I mean,
yeah.
they were down 28-0 at halftime, and that was felt like a runaway train for Vatek before they kind of let him back in the game with a couple of short touchdown drives in the third quarter. It's really Boston College is kind of perplexing to me, right? Because, I mean, Missouri was overrated coming into the season. We've all found that out. Boston College maybe should have won that game. They could very well have started 5-0. With that win over Florida State, who we've all come to find is terrible. And then Castellanos gets hurt, and it felt like it derailed everything. So I don't know that I could take them this week, even though I get exactly where you're coming from with Louisville. And honestly, a Louisville team that I didn't buy the hype coming into the season. I made a mistake taking them against SMU a few weeks back. I didn't think this team was as good as people were kind of hyping them up to be, and it's kind of played out that way.
Yeah,
and maybe they should have beaten Miami last week.
Right, you look at Louisville. I mean, the offense is good. The defense is really bad. And yeah. I worry about, you know, where their heads are at for this spot going on the road. So certainly something that could hit the card, be up on VSiN.com/picks. I'm going to dive into Syracuse Pitt a little bit more because Pitt is, well, they're very fortunate to be undefeated. They should have lost to Cal.
Yep.
A chip shot field goal goes, you know, wide left. And that was a absolutely brutal spot for Cal. And they should have beaten Pitt in that particular spot. And then Cal loses to NC State. You know, Jaden Ott was out.
Another team I can't figure out.
NC State.
Yeah. The ACC, especially the middle and bottom of the ACC, I expected North Carolina to be so much better than they are. They got to get rid of Mac Brown. They have to.
Oh, yeah. We've had two fire coaches this week, Mike Houston, East Carolina, and Will Hall from Southern Miss, both out.
But that Syracuse-Pitt game really intrigues me because, I mean, Kyle McCord's thrown for over 3 bills in every single game this season. Like, their offense is very, very good. But Pitt, we know historically, very good at getting after the quarterback. So that game is really intriguing. I mean, I wrote it up over at vsin.com, so you can go and check out my preview. I write up all the weeknight games, actually. But that's a hell of a Thursday night game. And again, just to plug this, because it, you know, old Big East rivalry here with Syracuse and Pitt, College Basketball Betting Guide comes out Thursday.
I think that's the perfect way to put a bow on this. Hopefully, I'm going to put Wyatt and Ryan on the spot here. You will be hearing from Jim Mora Jr. to close out this podcast and his epic rant versus the ACC referees. And if you are thinking of the next opportunity that UConn plays an ACC team, that would be Syracuse November 23rd. So I don't imagine they'll be getting many calls on November 23rd when they go up to the Carrier Dome or whatever the hell we're calling the Carrier Dome. these days. Adam, always appreciate it, sir. I know you're busy. The guide comes out, and college basketball guide, later this week, vsin.com. Make sure to check it out. We'll be back tomorrow with a special Wednesday with Wes podcast. I am Tim Murray. This has been the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.
I'm proud of them for fighting back. We've got to make sure that we put ourselves in a position where it doesn't come down to one play, where an ACC team makes a short call against an independent. And that's up to us to play better in the, at the start of the game so it doesn't come down to that call, which was holding and PI. And that's what I told them. And we'll come back and we'll fight. So it's on us to play better earlier. But it'd sure be nice if it was a level playing field. ACC versus independent. There's your explanation. It's pretty fucking simple. All right. Thanks, everyone.